What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And for those of you watching on BAM User, the gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire. And we've had quite a few people call on in with belated congratulations on the anniversary. And before we take our last phone call, I do want to, I have a comment in response to Dave where he's out there ragging on communism about how all these people are being killed. Experts are estimating that since the end of World War II, the U.S. government has killed 30 million people. So it's not like we're good and they're bad. It's naive. And like I said, it sounds like it's right out of the Cold War propaganda. And again, no system is necessarily good or evil. It's the people who rise to the top of it. All right. So anyway, with that being said, we're going to take one more phone call from Keith in Montana. Aloha, Keith. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about Monsanto, but I'll add to something to what you just said there. The United States has no problem buying products from communist China or all the rice they do from communist Vietnam. I mean, the doublespeak in the word communism today, it's okay in corporate business, but it's not as far as world policy. But anyway, Mike, have you, and Claire, have you, and hello, Lady Claire there. Have you guys seen the new Newsbud video on the turkey calling for the arrest of the CIA agent?
Yes, I have.
Did you notice in that video where he went on to link the Tsarnaev brothers as being his uncle? And aside from that and the whole details of it, he went into the Monsanto detail over in Europe about extending their five-year permit. But what was interesting to note was the adjuvants used that they do not declare and the biogenics portion of Monsanto.
Okay, yeah.
So it's more than just a weed killer.
Well, yes. Yeah, it's pretty obvious. It's a very dangerous chemical, and it may turn out to be another case, as was the issue with aspartame, where they had a chemical that originally served a weapons purpose, and they decided, well, we can make more money with it if we turn it into something else and sell it to everybody. Because aspartame was originally considered a biological weapon and a neurotoxin. It's an excitotoxin. It triggers neurons into overfiring until they exhaust their neurotransmitters and stop functioning. But Donald Rumsfeld, prior to being Secretary of Defense, when he was with Cyril, lobbied the U.S. government to get it approved as an artificial sweetener. And that's why we have aspartame today, which is something I have to avoid because it's also a migraine trigger. Probably because it is an excitotoxin.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else there, Keith?
Yeah, today's my birthday. You can say happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. Birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Get plastered, you bastard. Happy birthday to you.
But seriously, have a great day and a wonderful year, okay?
Yeah, you two over there too, okay? And I think we're going to get some snow here. Anyway, my best to you guys and good show.
All right. Thanks so much.
All right. Yeah, they're getting snow all over the place. All right. We're going to close the phone lines now, and it's time to turn the show over to Claire.
Well, I have read a number of interesting articles today and this week, and one of the most thought-provoking was AI building AI. Is man losing more control over artificial intelligence?
I'd say yes.
Yeah, you know, and at what point do we become irrelevant to their lives on Earth?
Well, they're always going to need repairmen. You need somebody to pay the electric bill.
Yeah, yeah, I guess so, at least in a limited way. But it is something that gives one cause for thought.
Well, we've already lost control over a major part of our world to computers already, and that's the economy, because of all these very powerful computers and high-frequency trading algorithms. Most of the major economic decisions are already being made by computers who are programmed for one thing only, the acquisition of as much wealth as possible as quickly as possible, to the exclusion of any other considerations, such as whether the product or service being offered is actually a benefit to society. As a result, these executives of these corporations may act like they're masters of the universe, but they're just along for the ride.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious. I would like to move over now to the world of medicine. Apparently, the FDA just approved a smart pill, antidepressant, so the government can track you as they force medicate you. And what this is called is Abilify, MySight, and it's a pill with a sensor that digitally tracks if patients have ingested their medication. And it was approved for sale in mid-November. Now, a month after the drug's approval, several of the world's leading medical doctors are questioning the ethics surrounding the controversial drug. And I think we have a shout-out coming up.
Yes, we're going to do a shout-out to our honor affiliates who are rejoining the network.
Mm-hmm. And presumably using compliance with taking prescribed medication as justification, the drug has an ingestible sensor embedded in the pill that records when the medication was taken. Abilify MySight was approved for the treatment of schizophrenia, acute treatment of manic and mixed episodes associated with bipolar disorder, and for use as an add-on treatment for depression in adults. And Abilify is a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor, SSRI.
Oh, wonderfully.
Yeah, right. As we have seen, a class of drugs which by law must contain the following black box label for consumers. And it says that this stuff should never be given to elderly patients with dementia-related psychosis treated with antipsychotic drugs, and they're at increased risk of death. Not approved for the treatment of patients with dementia-related psychosis, increased risk of suicidal thinking and behavior in children, adolescents, and young adults taking antidepressants, and the doctors are supposed to monitor for worsening and emergence of suicidal thoughts and behaviors.
Well, how are the doctors going to do that? It takes you 3 weeks to get an appointment.
Yeah, I know. And it's been linked to serious impulse control problems in patients. And in May of 2016, the FDA issued a warning to consumers about the drug's dangers associated with compulsive and impulsive behavior. According to the FDA, taking Abilify can lead to the following behaviors, among others: pathological gambling, side effect, and but the description does not entirely reflect the nature of the impulse control risk that we identified.
I swear to God, Judge, the reason I attacked that woman is I was on Abilify.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not guilty. I'm innocent here.
Yeah, and now they are forcing people to take it with something that tracks they're taking it.
Yes.
And I think that this is the worst form of chemical hijacking. Just absolutely terrible.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. I'd like to talk a little bit about China. And now today is Friday, and those huge exercises are done with between the South Koreans and the U.S.
Yes.
And nothing has gone bang yet.
Yeah.
But the Chinese state media on North Korean border is telling its citizens to prepare for nuclear war. What do they know that we don't? Jilin Daily, a local Chinese state newspaper from the Jilin border region with North Korea, published a guide Wednesday on how to behave in the event of a nuclear attack. Now, they didn't name North Korea specifically, but the national propaganda outlet Global Times published a piece explaining that the government felt the guide necessary as assumptions increase on possible clashes on the Korean Peninsula. They think it's going to happen, Mike.
Well, don't forget, they've been issuing the same warnings here in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I just hope that China used some other source for advice for their citizens than that duck and cover movie.
Yes, not going to help.
We all had with Bert the Turtle.
Yeah.
Oh, if a nuclear bomb goes off over your head, just pull the picnic cloth over your head
right.
And you will be safe.
Yeah, you know. And the article went on to talk about various kinds of nuclear weapons and protections against them. And according to the South China Morning Post, the Mandarin language article urged residents of Jilin to close their windows and doors in an emergency and immediately take a shower and wash their mouths and ears after being exposed to radiation. Michael, how valid is that? And
It's yeah. going to help. It would have been better if they said more a case of rinse, because if you take a sponge or a washcloth and you're scrubbing
you can
your
embed
skin,
it.
You're going to drive the particles into your skin.
Not a good idea.
What you would really need is like a complete exfoliation.
And another very interesting article about North Korea comes to us from The Guardian. Apparently, North Korea has signaled its openness to direct talks with the U.S., which Russia's Sergei Lavrov, who I, by the way, believe to be an absolute adult in the room in terms of international relations. And apparently, they want to talk to us over the nuclear standoff. And he said he passed the message to his counterpoint, Rex Tillerson, when the two diplomats met in Vienna on Thursday. Now, there was no immediate response from Tillerson, but the official position of the State Department is that the North Korean government would have to show itself to be serious about giving up its nuclear arsenal as part of a comprehensive agreement before a dialogue could begin.
Well, of course, North Korea is not going to do that.
No.
Because every time a country has surrendered their weapons as a condition for talks with the United States, the talks end with an invasion. They did it to Libya. They did it to Iraq. They did it to Syria. They're getting ready to do it to Iran.
So,
no, if North Korea wants to talk, it's basically to say, you know, we're now a peer. We're a nuclear nation.
Yeah.
You will not invade us. We will make it cost more than it's worth.
And apparently Lavrov conveyed the apparent offer on the day a top UN official, Jeffrey Feltman, met the North Korean foreign minister, Ri Yong-ho, in Pyongyang during the first high-level UN visit to the country for about 6 years. Feltman is an American and former U.S. diplomat, but the State Department stressed he was not in North Korea with any message from Washington. And analysis, it looks like this. As North Korea's latest launch shows increased missile capability, we chart the country's progress in developing a nuclear weapon that can credibly threaten the U.S. We know that North Korea wants, above all, to talk to the United States about guarantees for security. We are ready to support that. We are ready to take place in facilitating such negotiations, Lavrov said in an international conference. Russia, again, showing that they can be flexible, that they can create dialogue and possibly some meaningful results.
As opposed to head-on confrontation, which is the U.S. style.
Yeah, you know, don't beat the other guys up. Let's sit down. Let's talk, you know. And another little article on the Korean standoff. South Korea apparently is demanding control of U.S. military to instill fear in North Korea. I would say very gently to the South Korean leadership, Mike, that's going to happen when pigs discover their aerodynamic.
Especially with the new president of South Korea really not wanting the military to be there.
Yeah.
I think probably their goal there in having direct control of the U.S. military is to hold them back.
Yeah, and prevent something stupid from happening.
Yes.
I agree entirely. And I can understand that. I don't think it's going to happen. What do you think?
I agree. The United States is not going to relinquish control of their forces to anybody. They've done it to a small degree with NATO. They've done it to a large degree with Israel, which is very scary. Israel actually has direct control of American military assets, including some of our nuclear weapons.
Yes, that could cause one to lose more than a little sleep at night. I'd like to go over to something else that Russia is doing. They are proposing a Syrian reconciliation scenario to Libya. Firas Khalidi, a member of the Syrian opposition's High Negotiation Commission, welcomed Thursday Russia's call for holding direct negotiations between the delegations of the Syrian government and the country's opposition in Geneva.
Note that the United States was not really invited to that.
No, definitely not, because it is in Syria against the wishes of the Syrian government.
Yes.
It is an occupation of a sovereign nation, wrong and bad completely. And the people in the opposition are really respecting what the Russians are having to say about this. And the statement was made, for the first time we feel that Russia exerts serious pressure on the delegation of the Syrian regime in order to bring it to the political process, Khalidi told Sputnik.
Well, what's going on is there is a legitimate opposition in Syria, just like there's a legitimate opposition in virtually every country, including this one.
Yeah.
But the U.S. seized on that as their shield and then upped the ante by sending in ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
And, of course, ISIS and Al-Qaeda's agenda was Assad must go, Assad must go, Assad must go, which was not coincidentally the position being echoed by Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Well, ISIS and Al-Qaeda are now gone.
Yeah.
And Syria is back to a Syrian government and a political opposition that wants a larger voice in running the nation. And I think Assad has already indicated his willingness to work politically with the opposition and maybe bring them into the government.
That was a smart move on his behalf.
And of course, the U.S. tried to prevent that with ISIS and Al-Qaeda.
Mm-hmm.
And so Russia is now gluing that back together. And so for the second time in Syria, Russia has yanked the rug out from underneath U.S. intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And how the United States is going to respond is very hard to predict right now, especially with the utter recklessness of Donald Trump's announcement on Jerusalem. Because the United States wants to stay in Syria, and I don't think they entertain serious ideas that they can still prevail, but I think they want to avoid having to admit they lost this one, even though that's the opinion of pretty much everybody around the world.
Yeah, and apparently this came directly from Russian President Vladimir Putin. And the Congress will aim at adopting final documents on reconciliation and creating a committee that will draft a new constitution. All of that seems to be, you know, pretty straight up and straightforward to me.
Again, Assad and the opposition were already talking about this 6 years ago.
Yeah.
The U.S. came on in and said, we're all for it. The only difference is Assad has to go.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently all Syrian ethnic groups and religious sects, as well as opposition factions from Syria and abroad, have been invited to participate. This is let's build a big house.
Yes.
Let's work together. Apparently the UN, the ICRC Health Charity, and the World Health Organization are expected to act as observers. And this, to me, sounds like a positive move toward a future for Syria. That
this
is
Putin playing statesman yet again. Absolutely.
Right. And we have the following news, which is Arab-backed forces seize Yemen coastal area.
Saudi-backed forces.
Seize Yemen.
Well, so much for Donald Trump's call for Saudi Arabia to lift that blockade.
Not happening. Saudi warplanes continue to pound the Yemeni capital city of Sana'a at a huge rate yesterday, which is something that I predicted if the starvation and the bombing runs and the illnesses. Now they've not only got cholera to deal with in Yemen, they've got diphtheria and no medical help on the ground whatsoever. People are dying. Children are dying horribly. This, you know, this does not make me happy. And reports of the Kuka district on the Red Sea coast of Yemen say that pro-Saudi forces have more or less entirely captured the area, which includes a town and a small fishing port. At least 25 were killed in the fighting. The district isn't of that much value, but the push is in keeping with the Saudi-led efforts to conquer as much of the Yemeni coast as possible to ensure that shipments of food and medicine into the country are more or less exclusively under their control, meaning ain't gonna happen.
Is not going to happen whatsoever. So my earlier assessment of Donald Trump's call for Saudi Arabia to lift the blockade, he just issued that statement to try and counter the psychological impact of the announcement on Jerusalem. Not really going to happen.
No, definitely not. And the UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Yemen, Jamie McColdrick, says that there has been no progress seen with respect to the Saudi blockade of Yemen, adding that there have been 15 aid ships, mostly laden with food and fuel. They're just parked off the coast. They can't get permission to reach the port. And yet, the White House officials are saying that they believe actions are taking place which will lead to the Saudis opening up the ports to the humanitarian aid.
And by the way, the new ice skating rink has just opened in hell.
Right, right.
All right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Oh, yeah. Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And take it away, Lady Claire. I'm just going to kick back and relax. It's okay. Powhana Friday.
Yes.
You do the show.
Okay. All right. All right. I have to tell all of our readers and listeners, I am profoundly disturbed by President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Now, we knew it was coming. There were bits and pieces that were kind of planted in advance. And we know sort of why this happened. Which was something that I believe President Trump promised Sheldon Adelson he would do if he got elected.
Well, Sheldon Adelson was pushing for this, and so was Netanyahu, and so was AIPAC, and so was Jared Kushner.
Yeah.
But again, as president, we are hoping for decisions that take the wider view of what's going on. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, looking at the reactions from the Middle Eastern nations, and Putin's already down there, he's visiting Egypt and he's visiting Turkey, that Donald Trump has succeeded in pivoting in a single chunk the entire Mideast away from the United States and toward Russia.
Yeah.
And all these Arab nations are getting together to decide what they might do about this. Now, we're not talking military action here because Israel does have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
But those Arab nations, they've got the oil, and they could declare a mass embargo against the United States at the same time they dropped the petrodollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a blow the United States could not survive.
Yeah, yeah. I just, some of you may have seen the film Wreck-It Ralph. And unfortunately, when it comes to Middle Eastern peace, we seem to have a Wreck-It Donald in
yes.
the White House.
Yeah.
I think that analogy can very easily be done.
Yep.
And I have to wonder if President Trump actually realized what the nature and the shape of the ramifications of this choice would be.
Well, as I mentioned earlier in the show,
uh-huh.
if Donald Trump intended to set the Mideast on fire,
mm-hmm.
he's just done a good job.
Yeah.
If he didn't intend to do it and didn't realize what was going to happen,
mm-hmm.
That shows basically poor quality thinking. He's just out there to take care of his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And again, very clearly did not appreciate the scale that the reaction was going to be. I mean, they've inflamed all of the world's Muslims,
mm-hmm.
many of whom are now, thanks to the open borders policies, within reaching distance
yeah.
of Americans,
yeah.
In the United States and Europeans in Europe. And already the State Department, without specifically naming Israel or anything, is saying
yeah.
Americans traveling abroad are now a target. And so basically with this one move, Donald Trump has made Americans a target of Muslim anger, and Netanyahu has made all of the world's Jewish people targets for Muslim anger.
And we can go a little further than this. President Trump has painted a huge red target on the backs of every American service person.
Yes.
Here, abroad, and especially those who are serving in the Middle East right now.
Yes.
I mean, this really concerns me.
So if there is
mm-hmm.
an increase in terror attacks or IEDs killing
mm-hmm.
our young people in
yep.
uniform, we know who to blame for it.
Yeah, you know. And speaking in Gaza on Thursday, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh said, we should call for and we should work on launching an intifada in the face of the Zionist enemy. He said, we want the uprising to last and continue to let Trump and the occupation regret this decision. And apparently there have been violent protests in the West Bank and on the Gaza-Israel border, stones being hurled at anti-riot troops, and Israeli troops turned water cannons and fired tear gas.
Well, deaths are now being reported as well.
Yeah.
So this is escalating. This is not even beginning to show the signs of plateauing, let alone declining. I
mm-hmm.
think it's just going to get worse from here. And again, we still don't know what response is going to be organized by the foreign ministers of all of these Arab nations,
mm-hmm.
on whom we are greatly dependent for oil.
Yeah, that is going to be a very interesting get-together. But I think that they are going to be motivated to work together unilaterally, which is sometimes a little difficult for leaders of Middle Eastern countries to do. But I think they're going to speak with one voice with this.
U.S. foreign policy has been to keep them at odds
yeah.
with each other. And
yeah.
I think most of them are smart enough to realize that. But with Turkey clearly pivoting away from the U.S., Turkey was one of our major allies in the region
mm-hmm.
to keep the area under control.
Yep.
And now Turkey has pivoted away, and Turkey is talking about what a terrible decision Trump made regarding Jerusalem.
Yeah, I think we're going to see more, and in fact, we have seen demonstrations in Muslim Asian countries like Malaysia.
Yes.
You know, and they're coming out against this decision. I mean, the protests so far have been peaceful.
We're seeing Orthodox
yeah.
Jews and
yeah.
devout regular Jews are denouncing this as well.
Mm-hmm.
The only people who think this is a really good idea was the government of Israel
mm-hmm.
And the war hawks everywhere and Donald Trump supporters.
Yeah.
But the condemnation from around the world. The only exception is the Czech government is saying they're considering following suit and recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital,
mm-hmm. yep.
at which point Netanyahu put on his tap shoes and said, see, the world is with us, the world is with us. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.com.
www.ourhouse.org.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women.
Very appropriate piece of bump music on that one. So, Claire, please continue.
Well, it's also noted that hundreds have taken part in protests in Iran, where the state TV aired footage of marchers chanting death to America and death to Israel while holding up Palestinian flags and banners. And they're going to be having hundreds more police in Jerusalem's old city today as further conflicts are feared. And back in Iraq, Iraqi militia says Trump's recognition of Jerusalem is a legitimate reason to attack Americans. Hello. We still have a lot of military over there.
Gee, thanks an awful lot there, yeah. Don.
Yeah, you know. And Russia Today is reporting that the Shia paramilitary group Harakat Hezbollah al-Nujaba has declared that the U.S.'s violation of the Holy Land status quo is a legitimate reason to attack Americans.
Oh, boy.
You know, one has to wonder how he came to this decision without really understanding any of the ramifications,
well,
both in the Middle East and beyond.
Either his advisors didn't tell him this was what was going to happen, because they too are on board with the pro-Israel agenda, or he wasn't listening to them. And either way, that's a very, very dangerous situation.
Yeah.
Because the last administration we had seemed to get by on wishful thinking.
Yes.
And look what a mess they made.
Yes. And apparently a Palestinian official has said Trump's declaration has effectively precluded the possibility of a two-state solution.
Well, maybe yes. They may be jumping the gun, because we're hearing from all these other nations in the Middle East that they're going to now officially recognize the state of Palestine with its capital in East Jerusalem and just ignore the contiguous land issue, given that the settlements in the West Bank are illegal.
Yeah.
Their new idea is they should be taken down and the land given back to Palestine anyway. Israel, of course, is going to fight that tooth and nail.
Yeah.
Nikki Haley up at the United Nations is going to veto anything the Security Council does.
Yeah.
And that may actually lead to outright military action. But again, Israel's holding that ace card. They've got the nuclear weapons.
Yeah. What really concerns me is that this has given a certain empowerment, if you will, to Netanyahu, who is kind of losing his base. But it's also a fear factor, which Netanyahu likes to use to hold the Israeli people together.
I don't know that Netanyahu is getting a boost from this, because we're seeing, again, from all these ordinary religious Jews and Orthodox Jews, they don't agree with it.
Yeah.
And again, the fear factor, they have to realize that it's Trump and Netanyahu that have just made the world a more fearful place.
Yeah.
It's not the Muslims who have done it, who've kicked off this thing.
No.
It's Trump and Netanyahu.
Yeah.
So I don't think the politics are going to go quite the way that Netanyahu is hoping.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's desperate to get off the hook with this corruption deal.
Yeah.
And desperate men take desperate chances, and sometimes they do some pretty reckless things.
Yep, they do. One thing that I'm concerned about, and we haven't really discussed this, the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Yes.
I am very concerned that the IDF is going to be given orders by Netanyahu to completely close it off to Muslim worshippers and ultimately demolish it. Because isn't that the area where the Third Temple theoretically should be built?
Well, that's where Israel says it should be built.
Yes.
And here's one of the historical ironies.
Yeah.
What they call the remains of the Second Temple, on which the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Dome of the Rock are built, is actually the remains of an old Roman fort called Fort Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
And even Israeli archaeologists have now concluded that the actual site of the First and Second Temple is on nearby Mount Moriah. It's just a little bit off to the southeast, you know, stone's throw away, but it's not that exact spot. So, I mean, to me, the solution is obvious. Build your third temple on Mount Moriah and leave the Muslims their holy sites. But again, Israel doesn't like to share. Palestine has indicated they'll share Jerusalem. They'll have East Jerusalem for their capital, and Israel can have the rest of Jerusalem for their capital. But Israel's attitude is, no, we get it all. God gave it to us. Go away.
And they're going to take it all, Mike.
Well,
they're going to try.
They are, but if the instant they do anything to the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome of the Rock, they're not going to be able to contain the reaction and the rage.
I don't think so.
I think this is going to be
a very bad move, but they may make it.
You know, Netanyahu could go on in there and just order the mosque and the dome just to be shelled from a distance.
Yeah.
Because technically, that area is under the control of a Muslim commission.
Right.
And Israel's legal authority there is limited. But again, they're operating outside the law here.
Yeah. And apparently, Israeli fighter jets have hit targets in Gaza Strip, predictable, after the Day of Rage protests, and I would suggest that this kind of military stuff is going to continue to come down.
I like this quote. A projectile was fired from the Gaza Strip and was intercepted by Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. Well, that tells us whatever the projectile was, it was not built by the Gazans.
No.
Because those homemade Qassam rockets don't fly straight, and it's almost impossible to hit them with Iron Dome. So whatever was fired out of Gaza was a modern factory-produced weapon of some kind.
Yeah.
False flag.
Yeah. Yeah. And so far, and this is coming from Russia today, at least two Palestinians have been killed and more than 760 injured during this Day of Rage
I think it's more than that. I mean, the numbers are updating constantly here.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call from W down in Texas. And aloha, W. What's on your mind?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We hear you just fine. You're on the air. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I wanted to make the point about net neutrality again. You know, it looks like, you know, the powers that will be controlling that, the ISPs, the telecom, you know, they have the opportunity to throttle websites, to potentially even outright censor websites. So, you know, that's not bad enough. You know, and of course you have all the search engines and so forth doing the same thing. So now you have a bunch of different entities, you know, basically with the power to censor the internet to a level not seen before. Which is bad. It's just simply bad, awful. But I wanted to make the point about
it's not going to work in the long run. You already have other countries are talking about setting up their own internet that is basically going to deny control by the U.S. government. Here in the United States of America, you've already got communities are setting up their own community-supported internet. And already, of course, the ISPs are trying to lobby the courts and lobby the government to pass a law saying, no, you will only use our internet. But I don't think they're really going to have that much success. And, you know, China tried to censor their internet, especially after Tiananmen Square, and people just found a way around it, and they'll do it here. All the censorship activity is going to do is get people to stop using their internet, including the commercial aspects of it, and they're going to go to alternative internets because anybody can set up an internet. The technology is well known. There's nothing proprietary about it at all. In fact, it was developed at U.S. taxpayer expense, and therefore it's technically the property of the American people.
I agree with what you're saying. I've seen a video of people in Detroit setting up their own Wi-Fi system. But with that in mind,
I'm not talking about Wi-Fi. I'm talking about whole communities setting up their own community internet where everybody is communicating back and forth, and it never even goes out to the backbone corporations. Anyway, W, we're going to let you go because this phone connection is really bad and you are breaking up. So we're going to go back here to the lovely Lady Claire.
There was an article that I saw today from When the Hits the Fan plan, Michael Snyder, and it's part of a series. And he says, expect desperate, insane behavior from the U.S. government in 2018.
And I expect desperate, insane behavior from the government
all the time. Yeah. And he believes very strongly that Donald Trump may be pushing to entangle this nation in an escalating and increasingly disastrous conflict in the Middle East. The signs are everywhere.
He sure got a good start to that.
Oh, last Wednesday, absolutely. And Snyder says that confrontation with Iran has been the holy grail for neocons for decades, but it's becoming increasingly likely under Trump. And since he wrote the other articles, the situation has escalated. And Trump has decided to attach himself even more clearly to the hip of crazed Saudi princeling Mohammed bin Salman and Israel.
Well definitely the thing, on that latter one, but because of what Trump did with Jerusalem, Saudi Arabia is now pivoting away.
Yeah.
They have soundly criticized this decision.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And as you mentioned, Mike, the question is, what are they going to do about it? You know, what can they do about it other than to go to the pipelines?
Well, that would be their best option. Mm-hmm. I mean, even with all those Arab nations united together, a military attack on Israel would be responded to both with Israel's nuclear weapons and U.S. nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
But again, those Arab nations, they might just decide on a complete boycott, or rather an embargo of oil to the United States, coupled with abandoning the petrodollar system. And that would be a 1-2 punch that would really wreck a lot of things here in the United States.
Yeah. And it will be interesting to see how things play out over the weekend and into next week.
Yes.
And what the growing ramifications of this decision by President Trump will be. And unfortunately, just because something is the most ham-fistedly, pig-headedly stupid thing this country could do is not a guarantee that it won't do it. And that scares me about American foreign policy.
It scares me as well. Yeah. And over past administrations, I've made the observation that the quality of thinking coming out of mm-hmm. the various administrations does seem to be very, very poor. Mm-hmm. That it's all about an immediate need, an immediate agenda, an idea that sounds really good in the elevator pitch,
mm-hmm.
And either a good, careful analysis of its outcomes mm-hmm. Is not being done, or it's being done and simply being ignored because of political reasons.
Yeah.
But again, the U.S. has just made a mess of the entire Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about to get worse.
Yeah.
The U.S. is making a mess of the entire world right now. Mm-hmm. And there doesn't seem to be any end in sight other than a military defeat for the United States or the collapse of the U.S. government, probably
yeah.
both.
Yeah. And what Snyder feels is that an aggressive posture against Iran in the Middle East will lead to another huge fail, sparking a more serious collapse in the U.S. empire and ultimately Iranian domination of the region. Crazy? He says he also heard that Brexit had no shot and that Trump couldn't win. When it comes to conventional wisdom at this point in the historical cycle, I want to be short. First, the U.S. doesn't have the position it thinks it has in the world any longer. The moral authority, irrespective of whether it was deserved in the first place, is gone, and especially with this decision by President Trump.
Well, we had that politician over in Germany the other day who just came right on out and said, it's mm-hmm. obvious that America's influence in the world is in decline.
Yeah.
And the world should be turning to Europe, specifically to Germany, mm-hmm. for guidance into the future.
Yeah. And empires, he writes that empires always make increasingly stupid decisions toward the end, driven by hubris and a lack of self-awareness and the U.S.
government.
The U.S. is no different here.
Well, what's going on is what used to work, what mm-hmm. worked back in the 50s and 60s, isn't working anymore.
Yeah.
And so everybody's out there saying, well, let's try a new idea. Let's come up with something else. And all that's left are the really over-the-top, over-the-shark, mm-hmm. out-there ideas.
Yeah.
And somebody says, well, we got to do something, so let's try this. Mm-hmm. And this turns out to be another disaster, and it just accelerates things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think we're into the end game, the final chapter
yeah.
of the history of the United States of
yeah.
America. And I think we're heading toward a Soviet Union-style collapse. And what we, as the American people, need to be ready to do when it happens is stand up and mm-hmm. say, thank you very much. We will decide the nature of the government that comes to this land next, because
okay.
there's going to be all kinds of carpetbaggers coming on in and saying,
oh,
we've
yeah.
got yourself a new
yeah.
government here. Just
yeah.
sign your name on the dotted line. We'll set up a new private central bank, and everything will be just hunky-dory.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing that Snyder mentions is that the U.S. would be getting into bed, if he's talking about Saudi Arabia, with a complete and total lunatic when it comes to de facto Saudi leader, MBS. Pretty much everything this guy touched turned to, well, shall we say, excrement, with his campaign in Yemen and attempting to isolate Qatar being prime examples. Now with his mass arrests of Saudi princes and other powerful people, family members, in a quest to firm up his position, he's lost even more credibility in the region and created a slew of dangerous enemies who are not going to forget what this guy did to him. Like,
well,
ever.
Along with consolidating his power, mm-hmm. apparently Crown Prince bin Salman, looking at the Saudi treasury,
mm-hmm.
Simply said, well, we're just going to plunder our own billionaires.
Yeah.
Because all those people who were arrested, they were all let go as long as
yeah.
they signed over the majority of their fortune to
yeah.
the Saudi government.
Yeah.
And at this point, I would say he's definitely, probably a lot of people are thinking about just assassinating him at this point.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't want to be underwriting his life insurance.
No, I sort of wouldn't either. But there seemed to be an incredible simpatico between this guy and Kushner.
Apparently.
Yeah.
But Kushner does read like he's an Israeli asset, no question.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and,
definitely.
Again, I thought it was rather tasteless nepotism
mm-hmm.
for Trump to bring him into the White House in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, you're not supposed to hire your family into a political job, but that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Ivanka, too.
I thought she quit. She stepped back and went back to...
No, she was just at a very recent conference on women's issues in India. So, yeah.
As an official representative of the government
yes.
or just as Ivanka Trump?
I believe as a representative.
Okay, because I remember there'd been a backlash when he hired her, and there was talk about where she was going to leave her official position at the White House, but she can still be an ambassador at large without being an issue.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're coming up here on a commercial break. Have you got something short to send, share with us here?
I have something a little long, so I'm not going to share it yet. I'm going to have to share it after the break.
All right. Well, then, let me grab something off of my talking points here.
Okay.
Barack Obama is out there saying that the U.S. absence from the Paris Agreement is only temporary, which suggests that he knows somehow Trump is not long for the White House. Well, let's just cut on down to the chase. It's snowing in South Louisiana.
Oh, boy.
It's snowing in Austin.
Ooh.
There, somebody took a photo of a snowman on the lawn of the Alamo. And we will be back after these few words.
Okay.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I don't know why that bump is always at the end of the show, because we're at the end of the show and we don't take phone calls here. So, Claire, you had one more
story you wanted to share with
us. Yes, it's titled Silicon Valley's Working Homeless, showing how hard life is in Democrats' paradise. And of course, we know Silicon Valley is the home to tech giants like Facebook, Apple, and Google. But unfortunately, it's also home to a surging working homeless population who live in dilapidated RVs, tents, and their own cars, basically because of policies enacted by the Democrats. And the surging number of those working in Silicon Valley and still unable to afford adequate housing should be a warning to big government, but it sure doesn't seem like anyone is taking notice as their taxes continue to rise. And as governments creep toward socialism, though, poverty becomes the norm, not the exception. And Silicon Valley has the highest median income in the nation, but a soaring tax burden and expensive regulations have caused housing prices to increase, which has also caused the homelessness to surge.
Well, that is pretty tacky when you're working for these companies and you have to live in your car even though you've got a full-time job there.
That's insane.
And it's another reminder that that movie, The Interns, which is set at Google.
Yes.
And it's a fun movie. I really like it. And it makes Google look like it's the greatest place in the world to work.
Yep.
Apparently, it's another Hollywood myth.
Yeah. Yeah, very definitely.
And we're hearing all these horror stories about people who work for Amazon, about how they're being treated.
Yeah. Just inhuman.
Again, this kind of abuse of workers, fascism. Fascism on display.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And in our final moments, and we're heading into, I think Hanukkah is with us now, Christmas. I don't know about other religions who have significant celebrations in the month of December, but everyone out there...
There's the Feast of the Saturnalia.
Well, I wasn't really counting that, but... I would like to invite and inspire everyone out there to just be a little kinder this December to yourselves, to your families. If you can even donate one can of food to the local food bank, that's going to keep someone going who wouldn't have without it. Just remember to be a little kinder this season.
Definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on down here and finding some other things to share with you. We were talking about how it's snowing in all these places, and apparently it's Winter Storm Benji, which makes it sound like it's not all that big a deal, but apparently it is. And up in Alaska, which, yes, they're supposed to be getting snow this time of year, but apparently they had 10 inches in a single hour, and it is one of the most extreme snowfall rates on record, where people basically would go into a movie theater and the streets were clear and they came on out and their cars were just buried.
Wow.
So now apparently climate alarmists have been caught faking sea level rise data. They haven't given up selling us drowning polar bears and flooded coastlines. If you don't pay your carbon taxes, the world is doomed.
Yes, yes.
Hasn't happened yet. Anyway, there's the music. Time for us to get on out of here from our Pauhana Friday show. Please stay tuned for John Steadmiller. He's got a lot more interesting things to share with you. And we'll be back on Monday. So have a really good weekend, a good safe weekend, and aloha, America.
There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.